My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going to have another study. So let's just, it's going to be a Bible study. We're going to be talking about reconciliation. And I think it's quite a word, and we're going to be talking about that today. And we're going to be going through quite a bit of scripture. So get your Bibles out, get your Bibles and your pencils and papers out, and let's learn. Let's learn from this. I sure did. So let's all turn in our Bibles today to Romans chapter 5, and let's look at verses 10. Turn into your Bibles to Romans. This is fun. I really enjoy this. I love to teach the scripture verse by verse like this, and topics. I like to do that, topical study. So, okay, Romans chapter 5 and verses 10. It says, For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by death of his son. See, we were considered enemies of God, And that's why Christ died on that cross to pay for our sins, through his death, of his son, the Lord Jesus. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, what does that mean? Where do we stand? How do we become enemies of God? People don't understand it. When you don't believe that Christ died for your sins and that he was buried and he rose from the dead, what he went through for your salvation to pay for your sin debts, when you turn your back on that, you become enemies of God. You're walking around as an enemy to God. And what happens to a person that's an enemy to God? Look at verse 9. Just back up one verse. It says, much more now being justified by his blood. Christ died on that cross. And if he hadn't shed his blood for us to be the final sacrifice for sin, we would be lost. He says, justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Through him, through Christ's death on the cross. Now, the wrath of God isn't something you want to walk around with, and that most of the people in this world are walking around with the wrath of God because they have not accepted Christ, so that believed in the gospel, that he died for their sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead, because that's salvation given to Paul directly from the Lord Jesus Christ, for the body of Christ, and that's who we're supposed to represent. Now, what's the wrath of God? Well, there's two things for sure. Number one is, if the rapture comes today, you're going to be left behind. These people are going to be left, and you're going to go through 7 years of tribulation. And you'll feel and experience the wrath of God. Now, if you die before then without believing the gospel, you're going to go directly to hell. I'm sorry, but that's what the book says. And then from there, directly to the lake of fire. So, that's the wrath of God. But we don't have to be worried about that. We have been reconciled, by the death of Christ. And all he asked us to do is to believe it. And he said, and so, it's just tremendously that God loved us so much. He sent his son, And he paid the sin debt for you. He paid the sin debt for everybody. And but look what happens now. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Just back to the left a little ways. It's chapter 1. And look what we have now. Because we believe the gospel. Look what we have. Romans chapter 1. And just look at verses 7. He's talking to the Roman people. And he always talks to believers. Romans chapter 1 verse 7. It says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. We're saints, not because of anything we did, but because of what Jesus did. And by why? Because of his grace. His grace is upon us. To you, and peace from God the Father. We have peace with God the Father. We won't have to go through the rapture because we believe in the gospel. We have peace with God, not wrath. We have peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful. And we did nothing for it except believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. Now, let's turn to Ephesians. Let's turn to Ephesians turn to the right, from Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then Galatians, and then Ephesians. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11. Now, this is where we're at. This is where the world is at today. It says, until we have been reconciled with God through Christ's death on the cross. Verse 11 says, wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles, see, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, see, by them which are called circumcision, that is, by the Jews, in the flesh, and made by hand. He said that at that time, see, when we had nothing to do, see, whatsoever, with the Lord in any way, we were called the uncircumcision. It says, and that at that time, you were without Christ. See, we didn't. The Gentiles had nothing, you knew anything about Christ, see, and were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, so they didn't have any idea about God, either, the Father. And strangers from the covenant, had nothing to do with the covenant promises of the promise, and having no hope, and without God in the world. See, that's the situation where the world is walking today. There's no doubt about that. But then look at verses 13. It says, But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off were made nigh. How did that happen? We were brought to Christ. How? By the blood of Christ. Oh, there's a whole lot about the blood of Christ. And there's been churches that totally did away with blood in their church as far as talking about the blood of Christ. But it's tremendously essential. If you don't believe that Christ died for your sins and shed his blood for you to pay the sin debt for you, to cover you with his blood, you know, he was the final sacrifice, man, you're not saved. So it's tremendous. But we were made nigh. We were brought to Christ by his blood, the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. See, now he's talking about Jews and Gentiles now. Both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. See, there was a tremendous wall there. Jews wouldn't even talk to a Gentile. They wouldn't walk in their home. They wouldn't do anything. They had no contact with Gentiles. But that wall has been broken down by what Christ has done. Having abolished his flesh, see, this is the gospel. Christ died for your sins. He abolished it. Not by believing in Jesus. Not by taking Jesus as your Savior. He abolished it by what he did on the cross. And that's what our salvation is. Based on the gospel. And the gospel is that Christ died for your sins. That he was buried and he rose from the dead. You believe that? You are his person forever. It's wonderful. He, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law. See, we're not involved with the law, the commandments contained in ordinance. No, none of those things, none of the sacrifices, none of the temple worship. This has been abolished for to make in itself of twain one new man, so making peace. So we are totally one man, and we have peace with the Gentiles and the Jews. Now look at verses 16. Here's our word we're talking about, reconcile. And that he might, who's he? Jesus, might reconcile both unto God, see, in one body. How did he do it? By the cross, see, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, see. It's just, it's hard to comprehend. And Paul, that's all Paul preached. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn back to 1 Corinthians, back to the left. Ephesians, Galatians, 2 Corinthians, then 1 Corinthians. Going to the left. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's look at verses 23. This is what Paul preached. He says, but we preach Christ crucified, see, unto the Jews it was a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks it's foolishness, see. But unto them that are called, You see, in Ephesians, hold your hand here. Look at Ephesians, back to Ephesians to the right. Ephesians chapter 1, right there, 4, it says, Ephesians 1, 4, it says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. See, for those that are called or those that are chosen, what happened? The, both the Jews and the Greeks, Christ is the power of God, see. And the wisdom of God. And what is the power of God? Well, turn over here to Romans chapter 1. Turn back to the left in your Bible to Romans chapter 1. And look at, this is just one of the, you've got to memorize this verse. 1:16. Look what the power of God is. It says, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, see. This is all I teach now. I teach the gospel, see. This is the same thing that Paul did. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, see. For it, the gospel, see, is the power of God, see. This gospel is the power of God for what? Unto salvation, see. So when they talk about, he's talking about the power of God, he's talking about salvation, and he's talking about the gospel, see. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that joins the church and is baptized, and that is speaks in tongues and prays to Mary and gives his tithe. Didn't say that, did it? No, it didn't say that. It says to everyone that believes. See, all we have to do is believe the gospel. The gospel. Makes it real simple. One word. Gospel. What is the gospel? In 1 Corinthians 15. Now, you don't ever forget that. I didn't ever know it. For 60 years in churches, never was shown me. 1 Corinthians 15. Chapter 15, that is the most important verse in the Bible. And that's the gospel, see. Let me read it to you. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. See, not a gospel, which I preached unto you, which you have received, and which you stand. See, they were preached to them, they received it, and they stood on it. And by which you are saved, see. But there's an if there, and if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe the thing. But what he's trying to say is, you've got to remember it. You've got to understand it. You've got to believe it. For I delivered you first of all, which I also received. We received this directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1:11. Directly from him, he says, how Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to scriptures. That's the gospel, see. And that's the power of God unto salvation. It didn't say anything about repenting from your sins. It didn't say anything about being baptized. It didn't say anything about speaking in tongues. It just says, believe this gospel. Because this gospel, what Jesus did on that cross, is what saved us, see. Jesus didn't point to himself. He pointed to what he did for salvation for the body of Christ. This is the most important verse in this Bible. Now, let's go back to the text. Let's go back and let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's look at verses, I think it's 18. Now, we're going back to our word again, reconciliation. We have been reconciled to God through believing the gospel, through what Christ did on that cross. Now, look what it says here. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. See, we have been reconciled to God. Before, we were under the wrath of God. But now, because we believe this gospel, we're reconciled us to himself. How? By Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Once we believe the gospel, we have a ministry. And that ministry is to teach the gospel to other people. To show them the salvation is. You see, I was in church for 60 years and never was pointed to the gospel for salvation. It was always believing in Jesus or taking Jesus as your Savior or taking Jesus in your heart. That's not in the gospel. Jesus didn't point to himself. He pointed to what he did. I keep telling people that. Okay? So we have a ministry of reconciliation. What? Verse 19, it says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world, see, unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, see, unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, see. Christ took our sins, totally paid for our every sin that we've ever committed, and all he asks us to do is to believe it, see. And in doing so, we have been reconciled to God. We're not under his wrath anymore. Now then, what happens to us? This is neat, and this is what I am, and this is what you want to be also. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. See, what is that? What's an ambassador? Well, that's somebody like, well, they take a person from the United States, and we say in Japan, and he goes over there, and he represents Japan in the United States in Japan. See. Everything about what's going on over here, he represents us to Japan, see. Well, we're the same thing. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're from heaven, see. We're heavenly bound, but yet we come in and we are ambassadors for Christ on this earth, and we should continue to be so, always being ready to teach people the gospel. And point it out in the scriptures. It's not hard. You just need to memorize just a few verses. You don't have to memorize. Just memorizing where they are. Open the book. I don't even like to quote the things, and I can quote tons of stuff, but I'd rather just open the book and show people where it's at, because there's the power. It's the power in the word, not my word. It's the body, the God's word. I tell people, all I do is teach the word, what comes directly from the scriptures. It has nothing to do with me. It's what God says. So verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as true God did beseech you by us, by God, and we pray, it was by Paul, we pray you in Christ, said, you be reconciled to God. Why? Look at verses 21. For he hath made him to be sin. Who? Christ, see. For us, see. He took on our sins, every sin that we have ever committed or will commit, he has paid already, who knew no sin. See, Christ never knew sin. He was perfectly, that's why he could be the Savior. See, he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. How do you do it? In him. See, how wonderful. How wonderful. This word is fantastic, and that's why it just came to me, and I had to show you. Now let's turn to Colossians. This is one of my favorite of all. Turn to Colossians, and let's look at chapter 1, and let's look at, we'll start off at verse 20. Colossians chapter 1, and verses 20. And we're going to come back to this word again, reconcile. And look what it says. And having made peace, we talked about that. We had peace with God through his death on the cross. Look what it says right here. Now having made peace through the blood of his cross. See, I didn't write this. See, this is God's penned word. See, you know, Paul really, they say, well, Paul wrote this. No, he didn't write it. It was all done by the Holy Spirit through him. See. And when I read this, I'm reading Holy Spirit words. See, having made peace through the blood of his cross. See, we're looking to the cross for our salvation. By him to reconcile. See, he's going to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, by Christ, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Okay, now look at this 21. This is us. This is me. And you, he's talking about you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your own mind by wicked works. People say, oh, I would never have been wicked. No, you can't tell me you haven't had bad thoughts. See, you can't tell me you haven't had bad thoughts. Maybe you didn't act on them, but you had them. See, and I've had too many in my lifetime. It says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled us. See, he reconciled us through that death on the cross. See, It says in verse 22, just as plain as day, it says, in the body of his flesh, whose flesh? Jesus' flesh. In the body of Jesus' flesh, through his death, see, he had to die, see. He had to die to pay the sin debt. See, he was a final sacrifice for sin. Through his death, what did that do for you and me? To present you. I'm talking to you, see. He did it to present you. Now look at this. He's going to present you, because of what he did on that cross, holy. Can you imagine that? Unblameable. Can you imagine that? And unreprovable in his sight. What he did. Not what we did. No works whatsoever. What he did. It's just hard to comprehend. We're going to be holy. And we're going to be unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. But there's an if here. Just like when we went to the 1 Corinthians 15, see, in our salvation, see, it said that if you keep in memory, see, of this gospel, if, now here we see if again, it says, if you continue in the faith. Now, if you ask the pastors, probably 10 pastors, what's faith today? Wouldn't you know what you're going to hear? Well, faith is always in Jesus and his teachings. They couldn't be so far off. It's ridiculous. Has nothing to do with Jesus and his teachings. Look what it has. Faith, when you're talking about faith, when Paul talks about faith in his epistles, he's always pointing to, let me show you, faith. Grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. See, it's always faith in the gospel for salvation. Because Jesus, he didn't point to himself. See, he did when he walked on this earth, when he dealt with the Jews. All they had to do is believe in him, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. See, that's all they had to do. You see, but they didn't believe in him. They rejected him totally. They killed him. See? And so he turned to the Gentiles. He'd come up with his gospel. And the gospel was, it wasn't pointed to himself. It was pointed to what he did. That Christ died on the cross. And that he was buried. And he rose from the dead. See? He died to pay for your sins. And he was buried and he rose from the dead. That's the gospel. Look what it says. Faith is always in the hope in the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherein I, Paul, am made a minister. Think about that. He preached this gospel to everybody under heaven. What are the preachers preaching today? Do they preach this gospel? No. I haven't found a church that did. You go in any church you want to, and you go look in their they have a place where they've had these leaflets up, and that tells them what the church believed. But when they got down to, when you read it, it got down to salvation. You just got to believe in Jesus. You got to take Jesus as your Savior. And they spend 95% of their time teaching and preaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there is nothing in there for us whatsoever. You see, we're not dealing with Jesus' earthly ministry. We're dealing with the risen Savior. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this really shows it now. This really shows what we should be looking at. Look at verses 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16. It says, wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. See, we're not dealing with anybody after the flesh anymore. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. He says, yet now henceforth we know him no more. See, Christ isn't pointing to himself. He's not pointing to his earthly ministry. He's pointing to what he did on that cross. And we're dealing with the risen Savior now. Same person. That's true. But it's the risen Savior we're dealing with, the Son of God, see. And he pointed for salvation for the church, not in who he was. He put it in what he did, see. because when he pointed to who he was, he failed. Yes, he did. Now, you still today don't believe in Jesus. You can go to any synagogue, any place in the world, and you'll never find one that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. God has totally blinded these people. Totally blinded them. Guess what? And Satan has blinded the church today. Look, just turn back to the left, just one page, and look at chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and look what it says. But if our, chapter 4, verses 3, tremendous importance, it woke me up so I understand. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hidden to those who are lost. If this gospel that Paul preached for salvation, if it's hidden, you don't know it, and I didn't for 60 years. He said, for if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them that believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon him. Look what it said. In whom the God of this world, who is that? Satan, hath blinded the minds of those that believe not. Believe not what? The gospel, see? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon him. See, he doesn't want us to see the gospel. He promotes believing in Jesus and taking Jesus as your Savior. He does any church, being baptized, whatever you want to do. If it doesn't include the gospel, he is the happiest man in the world. Or I guess he's a man. I don't know what he is, Satan is. Because he did exactly what he wants to do. See? And he's blinded us, and the churches have been blinded for many years. And I'm just praise God that God opened my eyes. Because, see, they don't teach false teachings in the churches today. Hardly ever. And there's no salvation except in the gospel. And that's the only way you're going to find it, is in Paul's teaching. Well, let us pray. Let's finish this up. Father, thank you for this opportunity to teach this gospel, and that we become ambassadors to God, and that we can be reconciled to you. And we just pray that eyes would open up and they would understand how important this is. And I just pray that every person would come to the saving knowledge of Christ through the gospel. I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.